flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg on this Saturday morning, 25th day of January. Good morning, Georgia!
Morning!
And good morning and happy, I can't think of it. I love this song.
Oh, yeah, man.
And, but more importantly, I finally stand her. That makes it even better. Anyway, shout out to all y'all in Woodstock. First responders, teachers, and everybody and listening to the show out in Woodstock. But I played that because happy 40, are you ready for this? 44th birthday to Alicia Keys.
44.
I love that song.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I've heard her sing an a cappella. I've heard her doing musically. I was so excited to give that to Noah. I said, oh, don't you like this song? And she gave me like somebody just stuck Brussels sprouts and liver under her nose.
Whoa, yikes. That's a rough combination.
You know what I mean?
What make you think of that?
I just, you know, that makes you...
Hey, well, at 44, man, I go back to, like, when she was, like, really, really first coming out.
Really, right?
And Northern Exposure with Frank.
Wow, I forgot
right
all about
down
that.
Right across the street and around the corner, Club Kaya. And it was just her and a keyboard. Yeah.
You got me with that one.
Yeah. That's my first around Alicia Keys.
Well.
Yeah, man.
I don't want to put Noelle on the spot and have her tell everybody why she, because she ain't got to like everybody.
Well, no, she
don't.
No, she
don't.
She picks and chooses. She has some people you don't.
There's some people I don't like.
Some you care for more than others.
Exactly.
There we go. That's okay.
A couple folks in the news right now I'm about done with.
That's all right. That's okay.
Yeah. On this. Yeah. But we love some Jason Longshore. He'll be joining us.
Yes, he will. And we're going to see if we can't get him to know when we're going to get, because the one thing we're waiting for is to get the word on the return of a fan favorite to Atlanta United. But we're waiting.
Is that a tease? We're going to wait?
He can't tell us because he's waiting too. We're waiting for the return. We've been hearing all week about this return of someone who was part of the MLS Cup team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was
not
running.
Joseph Martinez, right?
No. He was like the yin and the yang with Joseph Martinez. He was like.
Oh, he was like his Scottie Pippen.
He was like the dude that was, yeah.
Okay.
But he's been away, been playing in the Premier League. He's been up at the big time. And so now he's coming back, and he looks like he's going to come back this way. I'm sure he ain't going to play for the same cash he played for when he was here before.
Yeah, but he's coming back.
But he's coming back. And that's the thing I want to ask him about, because we don't know. We hear about guys being lifted out of this league to go up to the higher level, and you don't know, do they come back? And so there's another reason for the intrigue with this particular player, who is a fan favorite, who – I'll mention this name when we talk with Jason. But there's a lot of excitement about this player's pending return to Atlanta United and what it would mean. Just somebody else along with Brad Guzan that was part of that championship. And also bringing what you bring after being on the pitch with the best on the planet.
Uh-huh.
And you know what I mean? He's been over there for a few years now. So he's about 30, I think, now. So he's not that young kid that was sprinting up and down the field with Joseph Martinez. But... you know, he brings that smart, that wisdom that you learn from being out there with the best, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so if he can come back to this team, that would be A big boost for this team, along with a new coach. You know, we got a new manager, Ronnie Dyla, who's come to this team. So
you know, you made your name with all of us in television, and I'm going to tell you something. That was probably a world class radio tease that you just gave.
Even though you're
known for television,
why?
you have now landed nicely into the radio, this part of broadcasting, and have learned it well, Obi-Wan. Thank you. Or Luke. Yeah, and that was a world class tease that you just gave. I'll give you the name tomorrow.
This is all his accolades,
and this is what he's done.
And he's a very, very popular player with Atlanta United.
There you go. You got me.
We're looking forward to coming.
What time are we going to talk about that tomorrow?
We'll talk about it with Jason.
Oh, with Jason when he comes in here.
We'll see if we get Jason to say something.
So we'll get your answer at 10:20-ish.
Yeah, so hang on. That's coming in just a few minutes.
All right. I had this. I got to spit it out because it was driving me crazy. Because as I was mentioning, it was Alicia Keys' birthday. We lost somebody even more famous than her on this day.
On this day.
Al Capone.
Ooh.
And I could take you to his grave when you come to Chicago with me.
Wow.
That's like a trip. Well, you go to other people's graves, right? You go to, when you go to, you know, the Arlington Cemetery, to graves.
Not
right?
in particular.
Well, but you visit grave sites of famous people.
You can. If
Lincoln.
You'd
like. You go to Dr. King right around the corner.
Okay.
And Coretta. Yeah. So why not Al Capone? All right. And so.
Well, I think of Al Capone, I think of the place at the end of Boulevard. He spent a little time down there.
Well, be that as it may.
Yeah.
You know.
He came through Atlanta for a hot minute.
Yes, he did.
They had him down there at the end of Boulevard. If y'all have never been to the end of Boulevard and seen Atlanta Federal Prison, this is awesome, awesome structure down there. And I think Mr. Capone spent a little time here.
By the way, since you brought up that word, today was the day that Manson was convicted.
Really?
Charles Manson was convicted on this day, which led me to this question.
Mm-hmm.
He's now gone, but while he was here, he was probably America's most famous inmate. Would you say that's an accurate description? Charles Manson was probably the most famous person in jail while he was in jail. People always brought his name. I mean, there are other people who went in and out, but Charles Manson was the name who was always there. The guy went in the 60s. But here's my point. Here's my question.
Yeah.
Who's the most famous inmate right now? If you had to pick a name. I have one. I want Noel's jumping on it because I'm just saying.
Okay.
And, you know, there was somebody who had a TV show for a while, but he's out now. Right? Joe Puddin'. So I'm just saying, who is it now, the most famous person? I have a thought, but Noel?
That male singer from Chicago?
Yep, that's what I was going to say. R. Kelly.
Robert Sylvester Kelly?
Yeah. You think so?
I think so. I mean, that's the one that comes to mind right now.
I think somebody more famous than that.
Yeah, all right, well, you can bring that.
That's the first one I can think of. I mean,
yeah.
They more let famous. OJ out.
Yep, him. You know, the ones, I'm just saying, as far as fame,
yeah,
of course
just
you
like
call
fresh,
them infamy.
Yeah.
The people pop
well, there's that other guy we probably shouldn't say on the air.
Okay.
Bad Boy Records.
Oh, I think R. Kelly's bigger than him. Because he's infamous and known for running the companies and other stuff. But R. Kelly's got music out around the world.
Well, he's also known for interjecting his voice on other people's songs. So.
No, that's true. Yeah, but you're right. I ain't mentioning his name.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I just left it at the name of the company.
I'll mention Al Capone. But go ahead.
As we're revealing stuff from people's assassinations, I would think Sirhan.
He didn't pass?
He's 80 years old.
Wow. Oh. I forgot about it. Okay.
Okay.
All right. You might have a discussion there. But then the question is, do people really know of a certain age who he is? He's 80. There might be a whole generation and don't know who the person is who killed Robert F. Kennedy.
Yeah.
So, we'll y'all go to Google and find out that's who Mr. Crenshaw's talking about.
Yeah.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. As we mentioned earlier, Mr. Longshore will be joining us in a minute. But we're going to kind of put a wrap on college football in its season. And while we were down there for the beginning of that day, the game played out how it did. Ohio State, congratulations to them. But here's my question to you.
Did everybody get out of town? There were a bunch of the people from Ohio State and Notre Dame that were stuck at the airport.
Yeah, that might have been the case.
It took them a little minute to take off. But
That might have been the case. But here's the conversation that started a couple days afterwards. And there were a lot of people who were very proud to bring this up. I don't know how Noel feels about this. And I feel a certain way about it. But you are a proud gentleman of the South. And are you ready to say out loud that the college football now belongs to the Big Ten as opposed to the SEC?
No.
After 2 years of winning a national championship and the way they did it? All right, then let me ask you this. How are you going to get it back given the nature of the spinning conferences and players and so on and so forth? Because the
I'm looking more than just who wins the championship. I'm looking at top to bottom. And top to bottom, there's no comparison when you talk about the conferences.
What you talking about?
It's top to bottom. There's no comparison. Who in the SEC is Purdue going to beat? Who in the SEC is Rutgers going to beat?
We don't know until next year.
Who in the SEC is Maryland going to beat?
We don't know because of the, again, the changing nature of it. It's like Harry Potter's staircase,
week to week. SEC, they're not going to beat teams.
Okay, so you feel the way you do. I got one vote for SEC from you.
Absolutely.
But there are people who eat through tree bark telling you now it belongs to the Big Ten. Again, the number one team was Oregon last year. You got the teams that were going back and forth. Listen, the fighting Dave Archers making some noise with the Big 12. Wonderful, I mean, What? What's that?
That's great.
When he does that, I know he ain't trying to hear nothing. He don't want to hear reason.
That's great.
This is the first casualty of emotion is reason?
Yeah, that's great.
Go ahead, Noel. What are you going to say?
I think that's nice. Noel, what you think?
Well, I mean, that's kind of how SEC country feels about it, right? Oh, I think that's nice.
That's nice.
But, you know, like, SEC is the measuring stick. It's the conference that means more, Greg. It's the reason that that's the tagline.
I'm not.
It's just a conference that means more.
And what is happening?
And I'm somebody that watches teams from Big Ten and ACC, right? But the reality is, it's just a conference that means more.
What does it mean now when we know that the conference that how it was built is not there anymore?
Everybody's going to keep swinging to keep them out. Like, they're still the measuring stick.
Yeah.
They're still the measuring stick.
Yeah.
Okay.
What happened to the SEC? Up against themselves. Because what happened this year was the redistribution of talent. We talked about that during the course of the season.
Right.
You know, the guys who be your third and second string guys have moved on, and they ended up in some places like South Carolina and some places like Vanderbilt. And South Carolina ended up almost at the last minute making it into the playoff. South Carolina is always mediocre. Yeah, I said it. But I mean, they've given Shane Beamer a nice contract extension this week because they like what's happening down there. Loyal fan base. I won't say for what I don't know. I did say that, didn't I?
No,
but always that, right? But I'm just saying, and even with the case of Vanderbilt, you know, you're talking about who managed to get another year for their player from junior college, your quarterback who's going to stay and going to collect some nice NIL.
Right.
It's stuff like that that has happened around this conference, man. And it takes some teams a little bit longer to get going. Florida, they looked like they were ready to run the coach out of town down in Gainesville when the season started. By the time the season ended, they were looking a little bit more like Florida. Let's see where they pick up when the season begins. That's why I'm saying the SEC. Now, LSU, we don't know what's going to happen down there. But we have some other teams around the conference that we expect to be there. Let's see how great a job they do at retaining, at retention. Once again, people talk about who you bring through the portal. I still say the big thing is who you retain. The guys that you get to stay and be a part of what you're doing.
Well, that's a hope.
No, it's not a hope. It's not a hope. You can do it. You got the cash.
If you have the cash. And that gets back to my argument, what I was going to say.
But that's the teams that SEC got the cash to spread around.
They ain't got it like the Big Ten, though. We know that they got all the money. Texas has got money, yeah. But you had
Texas got it. Georgia got it. Godfather.
You had the Godfather a couple years ago in Nick Saban, who, if there's anybody who's going to get money, it's going to be him. And he was up begging for the boosters and the people with Alabama or connections to Alabama. We need more money to compete with these other schools. Now, if they are reaching in their pockets and they don't have enough money to go up against the teams that are up north, that's going to be a problem, I believe, moving forward. So while everything you said is, as you said, wonderful, that's nice. We know that money now is driving. He's talking about Miss Terry coming in, and he's doing his recruiting and closing and what he does, and she's like, what are we doing? All they want to know is how much they're getting paid. Yep. And if we know that conference has got infinitely more money than the SEC, that's going to be a problem.
Are we talking
forward.
About who up there? Two schools?
We're not talking about two schools. We got Oregon who's out there. We got
Oregon and Ohio State.
California schools.
Huh? What they doing? Who they beating?
Nothing now, but a will. I'm saying this moving forward, whoever the money is. Dude, who's the number one basketball player that's coming out who went to Utah?
Basketball?
No, I'm talking about the money that's money and that on the college level. Don't know where the millionaires are. That was the point I was trying to get to.
The
number
one
guy coming out.
You're talking about two schools.
I'm saying it's going to be more than that.
Who?
We don't know yet, Sam. You don't know. You want to hang your hat on what happened yesterday. No, I'm not saying yesterday don't
Michigan
count
State?
Anymore. I'm not going to say yes or no to those. You're picking
Indiana's going to be back.
Did you expect to see what Indiana did last year?
You don't believe in Indiana?
No, I don't know. That's the whole point. We don't know. Did you expect to see what you saw at Indiana last year? No. Nobody did. Nobody thought that Penn State was going to come back. We did know that Franklin was going to lose in a big game. We knew that part. But we didn't know who was going to be next as far as where they come from. I'm just saying,
money is
driving the conferences now. We all know that. And to say that to say that SEC is going to come back and reign like they have traditionally, I think is somewhat short-sighted because it's money-driven now.
Well, but that's assuming the SEC is devoid of money. Like,
yeah.
I feel like the conversation
money,
that Nick Saban was having was, it's more people paying players now, and we don't have to do it under the table. So y'all going to have to dig a little deeper
to get with everybody else.
And he also knew who was coming into his conference. At the time, Texas and Oklahoma had not come in yet.
But with Texas's arrival,
in order to
overall,
compete with folks. And Oklahoma going to be there, too. Now, Oklahoma ain't staying down, you know, and they just got into the conference. So I'm just saying.
My bigger point is I'm saying I don't know who's, and I'm not saying the Big Ten's going to stay there. But if it's money-driven, they can compete with anybody, if not out money some other school.
Well,
I'll
we
put
talk
that way.
With Notre Dame. We don't talk about
no. We don't talk about Notre Dame.
They keep all their cash.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
All their money went one way.
All right. All right. We're gonna switch gears here. Atlanta United is getting back on the pitch, and we're gonna talk to Jason Longshore up next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I gonna make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Bull & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Been way too long since we heard this, Sam. And for those of you who don't listen to Sam and Greg on a regular basis, there are a handful of people who we have on our show that have their own walk-on music, kind of like what Johnny used to do in the old talk shows. And our next guest is one of them. In fact, he is affectionately known as the fifth Beatle, too. Because when you and I are gone, either one of us are gone, Jason is the first person who comes in and sits in for Sam and Greg. And Jason Longshore, Happy New Year.
Morning, Jason.
I hope you're doing well. We haven't talked to him in 2025 yet. This is the first time, right?
Yeah.
There you go, buddy.
I think so. What's up, guys?
We are doing fine, and there are a lot of people anticipating what is around the corner with Atlanta United. I got some questions, man, because And I know you don't have all the answers. In fact, Sam just did a deep dive into going, I wonder when so-and-so is going to be back here. And I don't know. And Jason doesn't know either way. He doesn't know either when he's coming back. But he didn't tell the audience who he was referring to. It was a beautiful radio tease. So will you, Mr. Crenshaw, please tell everybody. Well, he knows, but the audience don't know.
And Jason, Jason's laughing about it. Because he and I went back and forth about this. And it's something very exciting. Like I said, someone who's a part of our MLS a Cup championship team, and it would be, you know, fantastic to have him back. What, if anything, are you hearing about the progress on things with Miguel Almirón?
I think this is the easier one to try to explain. So the timing, I don't know. I don't know when he sets foot in Atlanta again, but every report, whether we're talking reporters out of England, where he plays at Newcastle right now, reporters out of Paraguay, where he is from and obviously would have a lot of connections, his agent is from there as well. All those reports, any reports out of, you know, U.S. writers, everything is saying that the deal is all but done. There's been various reports about, you know, terms agreed to verbally and all of that. I think the main point to keep in mind here when it comes to Miguel is Newcastle, the club he's at now, he is not playing regularly, but he's an important depth piece to them. They're probably not going to go out into the market and replace him. They have about another week plus to do that if they wanted to add anybody before their window closes. It doesn't look like they're going to do that because it's not a straight salary cap comparison, but in England you do have limitations on how much you can spend based on how much money you bring in. This is a move for Newcastle to add to the coffers for the summer window, their off-season window. So they'd like to keep him as long as they possibly can to be that depth. Atlanta maybe is a little more flexible in allowing him to stay there a little bit longer to do Newcastle a solid. Remember, Newcastle bought him from Atlanta years ago. So, and Darren Eales is at Newcastle. So there's a lot of, you know, commonalities here to help each other out. The other element to this, too, to keep in mind, because I know people will hear that and freak out and say, oh, he's not going to be ready to play. He's fit. He's playing. He's training. All that's not a concern. And he has a green card. So you're not worrying about the work permit issue side of things that you would for somebody else. So I think Miguel will be here. I don't know the timing of it, but I think he will be here and potentially ready to go opening day.
Let me ask you this, though. Because of where he's been and what he's done at that level, he's coming back here. Can we still afford him? I mean, I don't know if you come back at the same price that he played in before.
Look, the comments that have always been said about Atlanta United when they start to get really muscle flexing in the transfer market, the comments early on out of South America were that Atlanta United has mucha plata, a lot of money. So the money's not going to be an issue. Anytime Atlanta United's name comes up in a set of rumors in South America, somebody will say, tienen mucha plata. And everybody's like, oh, okay, yeah. Because, and remember, last summer, you know, they sold Thiago Almada for a lot of money. They sold Yorgos Giakoumakis for a lot of money. They're going to be able to pay whatever transfer fee Newcastle wants. It sounds like that's agreed to. Salary-wise, look, if he's a designated player, you know, you have three guys that are off the books, essentially, you can pay him whatever you want. And they have the ability to do that. I think the interesting thing about Miguel coming back is he's not the same player. It's 2025. Right. It's not 2018. He's 30. But I think he's probably a more intelligent player because of his time in the Premier League. He's got more experience, so he's got that soccer IQ that has risen. I can't wait to see what he would look like in the system. I think he would fit it to a glove, fit it like a tee. I mean, he'd be perfect. So I'm excited to see what it would look like. I think it's going to happen. I just don't know the timing.
Hey, Jason, say that thing, that phrase again that the players
mucha
say.
Mucha plata.
Mucha plata. Here's, because when you said that, I had two questions that I wondered about. So that's a favorable reason to come to Atlanta.
Yes.
How much is the airport discussed? And I say that in that for people who are coming to this country to play, getting in and out of America, maybe bringing their family members to here to watch them play, having to come to Hartsfield-Jackson is a plus as opposed to other cities. And is that something that's discussed amongst these players? In other words, y'all can come see me or we can get you here easy because what they have is a part of the city. Is that a thing?
Yeah, I think it's part of the conversation. Yeah. I mean, you know, look at it. If you're in South America and your family's from South America and you are coming from Newcastle to Atlanta, let's just take Miguel's situation. It's a lot easier to get to Atlanta from South America than to get to Newcastle.
That's what I'm saying.
Also, yeah. When you're talking about other U.S. cities, you know, L.A. is not going to have this problem. Miami's not going to have this problem. New York's not going to have this problem. A Kansas City, maybe you're talking about connecting flights. You know, Minnesota, maybe you're mm-hmm. talking about connecting flights. Things get a little more complicated. So I think the airport and the international connection points that Atlanta has that maybe not everybody honestly truly knows about, this is one of the top international cities in this hemisphere.
Absolutely.
And it is a draw for players, especially, I think, for players from South America, from this hemisphere, who understand what Atlanta is.
All right, Jason Longshore joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, as we get ready for Atlanta United taking on Chattanooga. Today, airtime 2:55. You can hear that right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I'm going to talk about perception just for a second, because one of the things that Sam talked about, he wondered whether or not this player was going to have to take a pay cut coming back. My question is, traditionally or in the past, it was said that when you came to MLS from these other leagues around the world, it was a step down. Well, now Lionel Messi's here and the visibility of this league has heightened. Is it still a step down, or is it something else that we don't look at? And how do you identify when a player leaves Premier or other places and come play MLS?
It's a good question. It's different. You know, the Premier League is the league with the most money in the world. They should have the best players in the world. Their teams don't always win the European Champions League. You know, their teams are very good, but they don't always win that. You have heavyweights in other leagues in Europe. There's five big leagues in the world, and the Premier League is typically the top one in terms of spending, in terms of overall quality. But Spain's La Liga, Germany's Bundesliga, Italy's Serie A, and France's Ligue 1 are the others in that big five. I don't think France is by far the fifth of the five. I don't think the overall quality of the French league is all that far off of where MLS is today. MLS is in a very different place. It's in a very unique place because you get some of those older players who come. You have, you know, who is still arguably the best player in the world in Lionel Messi. You get up-and-coming young players who come here and then go to Europe. And what you're starting to see now is you're getting that middle tier, that prime of their career kind of player who maybe didn't find the right club in Europe, maybe didn't fit, maybe didn't get that opportunity, maybe a late bloomer, and they come here and they want to stay here and they want to be in this league for a long period of time. That's where it's all started to shift. Just for example, in the current transfer window around the world, the Premier League has spent the most money on incoming transfers. That's not a surprise. Brazil is second. I believe, if I remember right, it's Serie A that's third. MLS is fourth. Okay. And if these two deals that Atlanta is being linked to, the number nine position with Emmanuel Latelath, although other names have come up with that position as well, and Miguel Almiron, MLS could jump into the second highest spending league in this current transfer window before all is said and done.
Wow. Something to watch for, folks. Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline. Jason Longshore, and he is social. You can always find him at Longshoe, at Longshoe. Jason, another question we can get in with you. Talk about what you've seen so far at the training ground and what can we expect to see today in this a soft lunch of the era of Ronnie Daylight.
Yeah, it's been cold this week in training. That's number one. It's yeah. been frigid and kind of miserable. They were inside at Flowery Branch for a couple of days. Big thanks to the Falcons for providing some space for the guys. And then they were back in Marietta the last 2 days. What I noticed in the two sessions I saw on Tuesday and on Thursday, the intensity to close the ball down, the intensity to win the ball back was ramped up to mid-season kind of level. I think that is by design. That is something that Ronnie Dyla and his coaching staff want to ingrain in this team, the competitiveness. And Ronald Hernandez talked about it and said the session that we didn't see on Monday was even more intense than the session we did see on Tuesday. That's been a key. I think the idea that in the past, maybe preseason was a ramp up to continue building maybe intensity, maybe fitness, maybe all those things. Now, I think the expectation is you need to be fit when you walk in the door. Fitness is going to be an absolute essential to be a part of a Ronnie Dyla team. And you better play 150% every time you're on the field, whether it's a game, whether it's a preseason game, whether it's a cup game, whether it's a training session. And I think those things are starting to take hold. So today, I think it's going to be two groups playing like 45 minutes each. That's pretty typical in preseason. You don't want to overdo fitness at this stage. You want to continue to build that element, but you're not going to be cruising through 45 minutes if you're Atlanta United players in this. I think you're going to be asked to win the ball back high up the field, to win the ball back quickly, get to goal quickly, and really make a statement. You know, the result doesn't matter as much as the performance. And that was the main point that Dyla drove home to me when I asked him about Saturday, when I asked him about this game. That was what he said to me on Thursday. That's what I'm looking for today, is the overall level of performance.
All right, we're up against it here. I want to remind you, Atlanta United at Chattanooga. Everything gets going at 2:55. You can hear that right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Jason, I want to ask you, it's been a couple years, the education of Greg when it comes to soccer. Do I sound as stupid as I did when we first started this? Are you feeling a little
you
prouder?
You sound stupid to begin with, well, but you're getting it. You're getting there. Now you've added Mucha Plata to your lexicon.
Yeah,
you'll
really
be good.
All right, y'all don't get a push. This is the first time we talk to him. That's a hard word. So well, anyway, I just want to make sure if I made some progression with you. And I sound as silly as
progression
I am.
Is good.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I can take that for now. We ain't even got to the first real game yet. This is just preseason, so I'm feeling good about that. All right, buddy. You and Mike Conti have a great call today, and we will
talk
to you soon.
Looking forward to it.
You got
appreciate it, y'all.
There you go.
All right,
now. Jason Longshore. Again, that's 2:55, Atlanta United at Chattanooga. We are going to wrap things up here in a little bit. Some leftover business. I want to remind you that we also got Hawks and Toronto pregame at 7 o'clock. Tip at 7:30 right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You can take us with it on the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It's Sam and Greg on this Saturday morning, 25th day of January. Thank you for letting us be a part of your weekend mornings. We'll be back tomorrow morning, 6 until 10. Noel had a little assignment, and I said, give me this song, or this song, and she chose this one.
All right.
It was either this, the Mary Tyler Moore show theme,
okay,
or Dick Van Dyke. And the reason I did this is because as we get ready to do here, I got to get rid of my insignificant information. And today was the day we lost Cindy Williams.
Okay.
Shirley.
Yeah.
Of Laverne. And she's like, will you give me those three? Those are my three favorite shows. But lost Cindy on this day. Also lost Mary Tyler Moore on this day. So I didn't want to leave the losses to just Al Capone.
Yeah.
You know, I want to bring some ladies up in here. And also Ava Gardner.
Okay.
Ruined Frank Sinatra's wearing, but that's a whole other story. Yeah, she was that for him, and ended up killing his marriage. But yeah, so I didn't know. I knew you kind of liked that show, but that's like,
oh no, I love that show, Shirley Feeney Meany. Because remember at the end she got married and she became Shirley Feeney Meany, and then she left Laverne, and then it was a mess. But yeah, one of my favorite spinoffs of all time. Happy Days.
Happy Days. Yeah.
That's, oh yeah.
Big Brother got her a show. Laverne, it is. Shout out to
So you got to go back,
Kenny Marshall,
and remember how that show spun off.
Yeah,
how did they spin that off? How did they get introduced on Happy Days?
The Fonz, they were actually Good Time Girls.
That's right.
In the Happy Days episode, and then when we spin them off, we make them more respectable working girls. They're bottle cappers.
Yeah, right.
In the home now of Sean Thompson, up in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
But the thing about it was, he was trying to set up Richie.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Richie and Potsy.
Yeah. And got that there. But yeah, it's just. Anyway, I don't want to go down this rabbit hole because we'll start talking Gary Marshall
shows forever.
I didn't tell y'all
what one of the things I did for Christmas when I was in here holding it down Christmas Eve.
Okay.
I watched Christmas sitcom episodes. And the very first one I pulled up was The Dick Van Dyke Show.
Really?
And I was highly entertained.
Why did you pick that one?
It was on the first list I saw of episodes. The list was horrible, but that was the one where I was like, okay, yeah, I don't think I've ever seen this episode. And I was highly entertained.
Dick Van Dyke Show is one of those shows that we'll always entertain because funny travels through the decades. That's the same reason, say what you will, that 80 years later we still laugh at the Three Stooges.
Okay.
Or the Marx Brothers. There's certain people, there's certain types of comedy and people who know how to deliver it, and there's certain shows. We talked earlier about a show that does not travel well. After it went off the air was Welcome Back, Kotter. It just wasn't nearly as popular as it was when it was running. There's some show. Now, here's a show that I wonder if they bring it back that will be as funny, because the people on that show went to crazy heights, and that's Taxi. That's
I was
a
just
show
thinking of that show.
Taxi was reruns when I was a kid. You know, I was a Nick at Night kid. But I didn't gravitate to Taxi like that. Taxi didn't move me like that.
Maybe because I grew up in a big city, I gravitated more. But it was just, think about the people that were on that show.
Oh, I was about to say, I did enjoy Andy Kaufman, though.
Andy Kaufman,
weirdness.
Danny DeVito, yep. Christopher Lloyd.
Yep.
You know, it just,
name after the name.
Tony Danza on that show. What's his name who went on to be in Grease? Bobby, the good-looking dude on that show.
Oh, yeah.
He was on there. So, again, that's just one of those shows. But the Dick Van Dyke Show is just flat-out funny and entertaining. And Dick Van Dyke is just one of those entertainers who makes you smile.
Mm-hmm.
It's at the pratfalls. 90,
at 96 still. He just did that thing with dude from Coldplay, and he's dancing around there and all that stuff. But, yeah, it was my father's favorite show, too. And you always wonder, which episode is he going to trip over the ottoman? Or is he going to dance around the ottoman?
It's the pratfalls.
Which one is it? Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. John Fricke is going to come up here at the top of the hour. Mentioned something earlier, and we just don't know how this is going to stop. Antonio Hamilton, man, had his house broken into. This is on the news. I'm not telling tales out of school here, but these professional athletes, and it just keeps happening. It's like folks know when you're gone. You need to keep your mouth shut about when you're traveling. Obviously, you can't when you're a professional athlete. They know your team's playing out of town. But I don't know that a few Rottweilers, you know, won't end this.
You would hope. You would hope. And you know, the people you're talking about, they've spent money
on security.
Security
system,
yes.
Right.
They spent money on systems.
So you think it's kind of maybe some folks who know them.
Well, yeah. I think there are some people who know. And that's the thing. It's kind of bold to do that this time of year because now it's the off season, you know.
So exactly.
You know, and so.
And he was on vacation.
Yeah.
So somebody knew that. But, you know, I don't know what you think you're going to get in his house versus what we've seen lately with Joe Burrow, who could possibly have a Heisman in there, or Travis Kelce and the other ones who have won championships, which you're going to find in there. But this has been happening way too much lately for people who you know, as you said, have security system, top of the line security systems.
Yeah.
And probably a couple relatives living there too.
And in gated communities.
Yeah.
You know, that's the other part. So that's amazing when you think about that. Today, two things that you can attend. Downtown, college football season may be over, but there's still time for you to go to the College Football Hall of Fame Educators Day. If you are a teacher,
Which we are both sons of.
We are teachers' kids.
Yeah.
And so teachers, we can't thank you enough for what you do. And today is your day at the College Football Hall of Fame downtown. If you have not been, it is absolutely free for teachers and 20% off if you bring your family. So to me, come and enjoy whatever school you attended or whatever your favorite college team is. And just come and see some of the things that are in there. It is amazing. Some interactive things to see and experience. College Football Hall of Fame, go and check it out if you can. And then if you feel like going south of the city, if you're a NASCAR fan, in less than 15 minutes, open house will commence at Atlanta Motor Speedway. So it'll be a lot to see
out
there.
Actually, that'd be more like
IndyCars. Yeah, really. But, I mean, there'll be a lot to see. And Daniel Suarez, who won the spring race last year, closest finish ever at Atlanta Motor Speedway, will be there in person to greet the fans and see what's new at Atlanta Motor Speedway. There are a lot of things for the fan experience. If you want to pick your seats out now for the race that's coming up next month, you can do that. And they're going to have some racing there on the short track there today as well.
And don't sleep on the beginning of the in-season, how do I say this, in-season tournament.
Like an in-season
which is tournament. They have the first race is going to be in June.
Mm-hmm. So that's going to be here as well.
You can get tickets for that up on the website. I got insignificant information I got to get out of the way here before we get on out. So I want to make sure you got all the shout-outs you wanted to get to. And by the way, you talk about Atlanta Motor Speedway and NASCAR. Today would have been Buddy Baker's birthday.
Buddy Baker. With that name.
Yeah, man. Synonymous with racing. He actually shares his birthday with a dude named Gregory Sierra. Now, you know who that is, but you didn't know by his name.
Okay.
He's a character actor who's been a Latino, who was on Sanford and Son. He was Fred's neighbor.
Okay.
That
had the goat.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that's right. Had the goat. Julio, right? He was also on Barney Miller.
Right. Barney. That's another show I was about to mention. Think about shows that are around that same time, right?
And he was also Crockett and Tubbs' first boss on Miami Vice. He was their lieutenant. Then he ended up being corrupt and they had to get rid of him, and Edward James almost got on the show. So Gregory Sierra is one of them dudes. But today was the day of the first Winter Olympics.
First Winter Olympics.
It took place on this date in 101 years ago.
We could have had it here early this week.
Yeah, we could have. Took place in France. What was it? Today was the day that, and this is something that happened, and again, 1981, the hostages were released from Iran on this day.
On this day.
444 days in captivity, and 52 Americans were released on this day.
Launched a new TV show that's still running, Nightline.
Nightline, yeah, Ted Koppel started that. So, yeah, so anyway, stuff that happened on this day. And speaking of things happening across the water, Zelensky. Guy, president of Ukraine right now, who's going through some stuff. It's his birthday today. He's 47 years old.
Okay.
So there you go. Now, tomorrow when we get in here,
yes,
Sam and I are going to hopefully not trip and fall into it, but we want to work in another little segment that we do, and it's called Three Cheers and Three Jeers.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if we'll start it tomorrow, but we'll talk about it, and we'll give it a kind of a test run. And basically, and of course, you are welcome to join us, 404-726-0929. But we'll just, you know, who deserves some cheers, whether it's teams or individual athletes. Are we going to limit this to sports, or could be anybody who does something special?
It could be anything, but usually, to me, it's kind of like a certain game or a certain event. If you watch it during the course of an event, there are probably three things that you like during that game, and there may be two or three things that you didn't like.
Okay.
And so what are your three cheers, for this particular game or a special event? So I think we think about it that way for events.
Okay.
All right.
And we got a whole bunch of NBA action going on tonight, along with the Hawks. We got the other games internationally, so we can talk about that. You got Steph and LeBron again tonight.
Yeah.
You know, going up against it. So I don't know how you feel about that. So, okay, we're going to try that.
We can do that. Or may do it for certain teams sometimes. We talk about your team, how you feel about the team. We talk about, you know, Braves off season. Does the Braves off season give you three cheers or three jeers? I mean, we brought Profar in.
Mm-hmm.
We let Charlie Morton go. We let, you know, I mean, where are we at on that? We can work it that way some. But I think three cheers and three jeers can be something we have some fun with, and hopefully the listener will too.
Did you ever get into, and maybe it was because you were covering them, but did you ever have that feeling right about this time of year, end of January, getting ready for pitchers and catchers? You know, because baseball was right around the corner. It was like a warm, saying it out loud gave you a warm feeling.
It wasn't just that, because, you know, pitchers and catchers coincide with Speed Week at Daytona. So going to one, we covered both.
Oh, that's right, because you're not talking happy times on I-4. So this is when they were in Orlando, the Braves. You're not talking about those days when they were down in
West Palm. No, but when they were in Orlando, you going back and forth.
Okay.
You know, you'd be going down the qualifiers or the dual races, and you're coming back. You know, so yeah, we're going back and forth.
Well, it's right around the corner, pitches and catches. And listen, there are those who will take your stance and just say, "Well, let's just give the trophy to the Dodgers."
Because of what they've done this year. I don't care what they've done. I don't care what they've done.
All the money they spent and brought in all those players?
Just like the Mets. Mets.
But the Dodgers know what to do with it. Mets don't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
You know, they have shown that they still got,
but just like us, they still got it, and they got to stay healthy. Just like what happened with us last year. Who knows, it could happen to them this year. So, I mean, there's always that part of it. Yeah, it stacks up on paper, right. It looks great. But getting there, you still got to get there.
Okay.
Yeah.
There she is. Look at her.
Uh-huh.
She's the absolute best.
Noel,
I want to thank you. Good to see you again. We didn't see you on Monday. Mr. Crenshaw, have a wonderful day.
I'm on my way over to Georgia State. I'm on the call for Georgia State against Old Dominion women at 1 o'clock, and then the men play at 4 against James Madison. So two games over there if you want to catch some college basketball. Is at the Convocation Center today.
And just a reminder, we got Atlanta United, Chattanooga. Everything gets going at 2:55. Hawks in Toronto, 7 o'clock pregame, tip at 7:30. We have it for you right here. Thank you all for letting us be a part of your Saturday mornings. John Fricke's up next. We'll be here tomorrow morning, 6 until 9. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And take us with you on the Odyssey app.